Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the Internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is entitled, Morning Has Broken, and it is based off of Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, and Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So let's dive into the Word today. First, Isaiah. Arise, Jerusalem. Let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to you, see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. For merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. Vast caravans of camels will converge on you, the camels of Midian and Ephah. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord. Amen. And we'll also look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending His grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God Himself revealed His mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by His Spirit, He has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Amen. Today we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this Epiphany is more than just a great idea that's revealed to us, but is more of a theophany, theos meaning God. It's a theophany, and Epiphany is really the celebration of the revelation of God the Son as a human being in Jesus Christ. Now, our text today is a good one for the Epiphany as it talks about light shining in the dark world. It talks about the sun rising and warmth filling the land. It symbolically fits the idea of Epiphany, as we often refer to Jesus as the light in the darkness, the light of the world, the risen sun. But how do we really relate with this text? Isaiah was written in three parts. Proto-Isaiah, which is chapters verses 1 through 39, was written somewhere in the 800s BCE and is believed to be written by the prophet Isaiah, written perhaps some added expansions written during the 700s BCE, but basically 1 through 39 is believed to have been written by Isaiah in around the 800s BCE. Deutero-Isaiah, chapters 40 through 55, were written somewhere in the 600s during the Babylonian captivity, and Trito-Isaiah, chapters 56 through 66, composed in Jerusalem shortly after the return from being in exile, written by multiple authors. How do we, as Americans living comfortably in our homeland, relate to Isaiah? And if we can't relate with this text, how can we possibly understand the meaning of Epiphany? If we can't really understand the situation that the people who were reading Isaiah in that time and place understood it, how can we really understand the meaning of Epiphany? In Jesus' time, they no doubt understood it, because while they were under a different oppressor, they were oppressed all the same. But we haven't been conquered by an opposing kingdom or forced to leave our traditions and our families behind. Or have we? While we may not be physically conquered or forced into exile, many of us experience exile and oppression daily. We often find ourselves in exile in regard to our relationships with our family, with our friends, and sometimes we are in exile from ourselves. Sometimes we are opposed by those we are in relationship, sometimes we are oppressed by those we are in relationship with, and by those who claim to be our family, who claim to be our friends, sometimes even by ourselves, when we fail to care for ourselves and for others the way we should. The hope found in Trito-Isaiah is that no matter how and to where we've been exiled, no matter what struggles we are suffering through, we know that God is with us and will not forsake us. God will help us and give us the strength to mend the relationships that can and should be mended, to let go of the ones that cannot, and to break free of the chains of oppression. But it doesn't just stop there. Just as the sun doesn't stop at the horizon, Paul speaks of another kind of exile that also needs to come to an end, the exile from God. God wants us to experience the fullness of His grace in us. God wants us to experience the change that His rising Son, Jesus Christ, can bring into our lives. When the sun rises in the east and begins to light up the day, Does it not change everything around it? When the sun rises in the east and again lights up the day, does it not change everything around it? Does anything appear the same as it did in the darkness? If Christ has risen in us, then isn't the same to be true for us? Nothing can remain the same. Like Paul, we need to experience the full change that the Son of God brings into our lives. We can no longer sit comfortably and watch the world get lost in the darkness. I want to tell you a parable that I think helps us understand this, and it was actually one that was written by Plato in the person of Socrates. So Plato wrote it, but he was writing it as if he were Socrates. And in this allegory, Socrates, through Plato's writing anyway, Socrates tells this allegory of the cave. And he says that knowledge is often like a slave, or at least the attaining of knowledge is often like a slave who is chained in a cave, in a dark cave, and his head, his neck, his hands, his feet are bound in such a way that he can't move and he can't face in any direction but forward. And in front of him, he sees this bright light with these shadowy figures moving around, and he assumes that that is reality, that those shadowy figures he sees are reality. But then somehow he's able to break free at least a little bit so he can turn his head. And he notices as he's breaking free of the chains and things that are holding him back, he notices that that actually what was in front of him wasn't reality, but there's this bright light behind him, and that there are shadows walking in front of the bright light, and it was those that are the monsters, not what he saw in front of him. Now, as he breaks free completely, he begins to walk toward the fire, and he realizes that there are actually the shadows are nothing more but cutouts and people walking in front of it holding those cutouts. And so the monsters he saw are really just people holding cutouts, and the fire is what's causing the shadows to dance on the wall. But then he notices up in the distance there's a bright light that's even brighter than the fire he's looking at, and he begins to walk toward it, and he realizes that that must be the true source of the light. But as he walks closer and closer, the light gets bigger and bigger until he realizes that that light isn't the true source at all, but that is actually the exit from the cave. And as he goes out into the daytime outside of the cave, he realizes that the light is so bright there that he has to squint to even see anything. And then he begins to adjust, and he notices this shimmering, shiny, reflective area in front of him, and he looks down and he sees this bright ball of light, and he says, that is the true source of light. But then he realizes that it breaks every now and again and shimmers in a way that makes it seem almost like a mirage, and he realizes that can't be the true source of light. So he looks up into the sky, and he realizes that the surface he was looking at was reflecting the light from the sky, and that in the sky, that must be the true source of light. And so now this slave, rather than going off and living his life under the true source of light that he has now discovered, he feels compelled to go back into the cave. Why? Because there were other slaves that were around him. Even though he's been freed, there were other slaves that were around him, chained in the same way that he was, staring in front of them and thinking that what's in front of them is the true reality, is the true source of ultimate reality, is the true source of light. And so he feels compelled to go back down into that cave and to tell the slaves all that he has discovered about ultimate reality. And guess what they do when he gets there and tells them? They laugh at him. They mock him. They threaten that if they could get their hands on him, they'd kill him because they know what they see in front of him, and they don't need him telling him some fanciful alternate reality that doesn't exist. So you see, they have a hard time believing anything beyond what they can see, but this man is telling them the ultimate truth because he has seen something bigger and brighter and better and more powerful than anything they could imagine staring at that wall. Now, like this slave in Plato's allegory, we have been freed from the prison of hopelessness only to become a prisoner of the hope we've discovered. This slave discovered the true source of light, but that didn't free him to live his life freely as he wished. Rather, it compelled him to go down and to talk to these other slaves so that he could share that with them. He became a slave to the hope he discovered. And just like him, we've become freed from the prison of hopelessness in Jesus, through Jesus Christ, only to become a prisoner of that hope, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But this is a positive thing. And this is what Paul is talking about when he says that he's a prisoner of Christ. It's not that Christ is a slave owner or Christ is a jail warden, but that he has found this hope and he can no longer live just for himself, but has to share that hope with others. And in that way, he has become a prisoner of Christ, one who has gone to extreme lengths, including imprisonment, so that he can share the hope that he has with others. But of course, like those slaves in the cave, the people who hear him talking about the hope that they have, and that there's an ultimate reality beyond what they see and what they know, those people don't believe him, and they beat him and threaten him and imprison him. So once we know the truth of the hope that is out there, according to Paul, we will work tirelessly to bring that hope to others. If we truly have discovered the hope that is in Jesus Christ, how can we do anything else but tell others about that hope. But how? Of course, that depends on the person and the situation. Like, Paul's way of doing it may not be our way of doing it, but we will do it all the same. It always comes down to, no matter what though, it always comes down to our presence. We are called to do a ministry of presence in the lives of those around us. For Paul, it meant bringing an offering to people in Jerusalem and going to the temple to prove his devotion to God, and that got him arrested and sent to Rome, where he was under house arrest and he witnessed to people there. Paul wrote letters. Paul started churches. Paul expressed his faith in Christ in various ways in order to bring other people to a relationship with Christ and to the hope that he now had. And so we are called to do this the same way. We are called to be a people who not just hoard the hope that we have within us, but a people who will share that hope with others. But it always comes down to our presence, and we are called to do a ministry of presence, my friends, in the lives of those around us. Morning has broken. Morning has broken. So let us rise with the sun, the S-O-N, with Jesus Christ, and break through the darkness with him, and help others to break through the darkness as well. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I just thank you and praise you for this challenging message. Lord, we are called to be like the slave in the allegory of the cave, where we don't just discover the truth for ourselves, but we share that truth with others so that they may too be freed from their slavery and brought into a new life with new hope. And of course, we know that that hope leads us to then become a slave of you. Not that you are our slave master, but we become a slave of the hope that we now receive and possess, because we know that we can no longer just live for ourselves, but that others can experience this hope as well. And so help us, Lord, to be a people of that hope, a people who share that hope, a people who go to whatever lengths are needed for others to have the hope that we have. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and ask that you guide us and strengthen us for this cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I want to thank you, my friends, for tuning into this message. Happy New Year. Happy New Decade. Happy New Beginning in your lives. I pray that you will experience the hope of Christ if you haven't already, and that morning will break upon you so that you may share the light of others, so that they may also have a new morning and a new light and a new hope in Jesus Christ and find out who they truly are. Thank you again for tuning in. Check out the episode notes and check out the links there. Our new Party on John cast episode is out, so you can check out the partyonjohn.org to get the new episode there. But in the meantime, friends, remember that you are richly blessed, so be a blessing to others. Go in peace.